All right, welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here on WDCB 90.9 FM and also on ChicagoJazz.com. We are here live at Katarina's. The crowd is filing in. We're going to go. The crowd is filing in. Of course, we record here at Katarina's every Tuesday from 6 until 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. And the address, I don't know, I'm getting sidetracked here because I'm looking at all the different people coming in here. We've got quite a show scheduled today. Katarina's address is 1920 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. And, of course, you can get more details at katarinas.com and at chicagojazz.com. So if you'd like to be part of the studio audience, please come on down. There's always room for you here at Katarina's on Tuesdays. So before we get started with the show, of course, coming up this weekend is the Hyde Park Jazz Festival, and I wanted just to make a quick mention. I know WDCB is a proud sponsor of the Hyde Park Jazz Festival, along with Chicago Jazz Magazine, and they have quite the lineup. For those of you that are not familiar with the Hyde Park Jazz Festival, the festival starts on September 28th and runs the 28th and 29th. It is in different venues, I believe it's over 10 different venues throughout the Hyde Park neighborhood on the 28th, and then everything comes together on the Midway on the 29th of September. And they have a full lineup, full schedule. Of course, it's all available at WDCB.org and ChicagoJazz.com. But this is a great chance to see over 100 jazz musicians performing in the 2 days, and this is the 7th annual. So we're really excited and pleased to be a part of it, and hopefully you will make it out there and check out who's performing. And I know they have Ferez Witted, Ben Patterson's organ quartet is there, Ken Vandermark is there. There's quite a wide array. Tammy McCann, I guess you'd call it a headlining performance. I believe it's the last one of the Sunday performances. Of course, each performance is worthy of being headliners. But Tammy McCann is actually performing with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. So that's just one little plug, but there are literally over 100 jazz musicians performing in Hyde Park on that weekend. So September 28th and 29th. Be sure to head on down to the Hyde Park neighborhood and check all that information. Check out all the performances, and, of course, the information is available at WDCB.org. Now, I am very excited to have on Chicago vocalist Lori Shelley. Lori Shelley has performed all throughout the world, and we're going to get into all of that. She's done many, many different performances and recordings, and we're going to hear and delve into everything. But she's got some performances coming up locally at Katarina's. I believe it's coming up on October 4th, November 1st, December 6th, and they're calling it the Unwind After Work Friday Jazz Series at Katarina's, so you can unwind after work with Lori Shelley and enjoy her music. How are you, Lori?
Hi, I'm good.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad you made it down. Now, you and I have played together as well on different things. We actually just played the Chicago Jazz Festival at the Jazz Oasis.
Right.
And you've got a lot of different things to talk about in your background. But why don't we just start off, because I know that I'm curious. I mean, how did you get started even singing? How did that come about?
Well, I guess, you know, you're born with a voice. Both my parents were musicians. My mother was a singer, and my father was a violinist. And
so it was a musical family then you were in.
Yeah, yeah. And both my sisters sang. And actually, I think it's kind of funny. I have two sisters, and we would sing together and harmonize, but they always pushed me away because I think I was a bit of a ham.
You?
Let me in there.
Not you. A ham, no.
And I'm the youngest, too, so, okay. You know, controlling or whatever. But, yeah, so, you know, we start out doing that, and then all I wanted to do was sing. You know, when everybody was out of the house, I put on records and, you know, was always singing along, putting on my own little shows. Imagine you're singing with the hairbrush in the hand.
Oh, you were that person.
I was that person, definitely.
Now, what, like, was it pop stuff? I mean, what
was
jazz
influence?
Stuff?
What, yeah. Everything. I mean, I was actually really a little kid, and I'd get up Sunday mornings and watch the Jubilee Showcase. That was a gospel show. So that was a big influence. And listening to my father's, you know, albums. He had his own orchestra. In fact, the conductor that conducted for Jerry Lewis conducted for my father. So he was really brilliant. And I would listen to a jazz. You know, I think you go to what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. But it's everything. I love rock. I love rock and roll. So, you know, I saw the Allman Brothers in concert and Journey. And so everything I wanted to get involved in. And I liked everything. Everything from Cream to rock and roll to R&B.
And, of course, jazz.
And, of course, jazz and theater. You know, I loved it all. If it's good, I like it.
So that's the whole time you were growing up and you were in high school and everything. Were you in theater? Were you in doing performances?
Yes. In high school, there was Potpourri, so I was part of that theater thing, you know, and sang. And I went to a theater camp from being seven years old till I was 14 every summer called Harangue Camp in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. Very well-known theater camp. They had a theater. They had theaters there, but they also had a theater called the Forrest Tucker Theater, named after the actor who came there. And we put our hands in cement, like all the stars, you know, do that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I was in all the shows there, and was a big part of my
life.
Now,
did you grow up in Chicago?
I grew up in Glencoe, Illinois, but Chicago.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and I love it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So from there, you went through high school doing all the music stuff and everything. After high school, what happened? Where did you go?
That's a good question. Where did I go?
Did you come back?
I did.
Wherever you went, did you come back?
I think I tried out for some shows, you know, didn't get the part Pippin. You know, 17 years old, it was a big production. Ben Vereen was in
like
it.
Like in Chicago.
Yeah. In fact, Joe Vito was the pianist playing for the auditions.
Really?
Yeah, I get there, and it was like, okay, don't look at him because you're going to laugh. So I did my famous Barbara Streisand song, Flim Flam Man, and didn't get it. I wasn't right for it, but it was, you know, it was good. And I just kept singing until I started to, through my brother-in-law, Bill Scott, I met Joe Vito and other musicians, and I started to do, you know, private gigs, jobbing dates.
Okay.
Like when I was 17,
really?
George Allen was the first orchestra leader that I did a jobbing gig for, and that was, you know, that was the end of that. I just kept doing it.
Yeah. And those were the days when there was a lot of work to be had.
There was a lot of work, and it was really one singer, you know, unless a guitarist or somebody else in the orchestra sang, where today it's, you know, four or five singers right in the front there. And I did that, and I was, you know, really one of the busiest female singers doing it. Because I also, the demanding thing about that was that you really had to sing everything.
Right, yeah, you have to not only sing
all
jazz,
it.
You're singing everything.
Everything,
because you're
the
doing
top 40,
the
rock, you know, R&B. And so I could, and I did. And that kept me really busy.
Yeah.
You know.
So now, doing all of that, and you're jobbing, and you're probably slammed every single weekend. You're working constantly.
Yes.
Are you still hitting clubs? Are you still sitting in? Are you
yeah,
still
it's
playing
interesting.
Clubs?
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of work at the Bulls. I was just talking to a friend of mine about that.
It Jazz
was
Bulls, right?
One of the best clubs. I was there, playing there all the time, hanging all the time. It was, everybody was. Everybody didn't just play there. Everybody hung there. You know, it was like downstairs, and it just was like, you know, you walked in there, and it just became your life for that night. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. The best thin crust pizza. Ken Chaney, Frank Russell was there. Louise Everling played there. But it was a great place. And I did a lot of work there. And I actually brought Mark Colby and Frank Caruso together because I hired them both. Yeah, it was my band. I hired them both. Tomas Keeney.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee, who was on drums?
Mo.
Mo Jennings.
Oh, Mo Jennings.
Yes.
Yep.
And Marlene Rosenberg did gigs with me there. I think even Luis might have. Yeah, that's right. Joan Hickey. So I was there. I did a lot of work with Dick Judson and all. You know, he was like the top guys.
Right.
And as far as jobbing. So, you know, I was there. I'm trying to think where else I was. That was
Bubba,
a couple
so
other places.
So you're getting your chops together.
I'm getting
and
my
all
chops
that
together,
down.
And I loved it, you know. Yeah. And then things changed a little more, you know.
So you went from that, and how did you how did you get the gig with Michelle Legrand? Is that how that happened? That you were playing somewhere?
You know, I was always hanging out with musicians, more so than singers. Always jamming at somebody's place. You know, you had your really good friends. We'd all jam together. That's something I miss. You know, just for nothing. It had nothing to do with money. It had only to do with music. And then we'd all go out and eat some, like, really cool food and have a great time. So I was doing the club thing, and then one day a gentleman named Randy Waldman, who I was very good friends with, who is a major name now, he plays with Barbara Streisand and George Benson. He's in L.A. So he called me up. I'm leaving my apartment. It was about, my gosh, I think I was 19, almost 20. We won't discuss that now, but a million years ago. And the phone rings. And by the way, I was listening to this person you're about to get into with me and discuss Michelle Legrand since I've been a child, my early 13 years old, 14. So I gravitated to his music instantly through an album called Jack Jones Sings Michelle Legrand that was introduced to me by my brother-in-law. And he put it on, and I couldn't help myself. It was so magnificent. And I was always into unusual things for my age. So I get this call. I ran back to get this phone. Literally, the door is closing, and he says, you want to go hear Michelle Legrand at Mr. Kelly's, a great club that is no longer here.
Wow, he was so playing with a trio or something over there?
He was playing with Steve Gilmore on bass. These are top-notch guys. Bill Goodwin on drums. I mean, these guys have played with Bill Evans and everybody, and Phil Woods. You know, as they say, the ear to Charlie Parker, alto sax, and a string quartet from the Chicago Symphony. It was magnificent. So, and Mr. Kelly's, of course, is known for having everybody from Barbara Streisand to Sarah Vaughan to Bette Midler, Barry Manilow, you know.
Yep.
And so I said, sure, let's go. I'll go. You know, so I quickly, you know, got myself together and met him there and went in and just... It was incredible that I was sitting there listening to him and this small band that he had. And afterwards, should I keep going here? Afterwards, I went up to him.
Well, everybody's listening to what you're saying. I would continue on, yeah.
I went up to him and, you know, also on these gigs, you know, I'm doing, what are you doing the rest of your life? I'm doing his music. And I said, thank you. You know, it was wonderful. I love your music. I love singing it. And he wanted to know if I had anything recorded. I said no, and Randy and I were talking about doing something in the basement of his parents' home because he had a little studio there. And so, you know, I don't remember if I said, I'll get back to you or what. So then I left, and then the next night a bunch of jazz musicians, I always hung out with the best, some of the best musicians in this town. And I guess you could say they were my mentors without me realizing it. So I always hung out with them, and they all were going to, you know, of course, you're, you know, the god of saxophones. And they wanted to go. And so I said, yeah, let's go. And I went back, and Michelle saw me.
Yeah.
And they were all in a break sitting at a table. And he said, did you bring, you know, something, a cassette, that C word? And I said, no, because it was yesterday. And so everybody's sitting there, Phil Woods, his manager, Marvin Stamm was playing trumpet New York. So I said, so everybody got silent, and I said, well, why don't you play for me and I'll sing? And they looked at me like, who does she think she is? What kind of a nut is she? And it real silent, and all of a sudden he goes, okay, why don't you come be here tomorrow? And I'm like, okay. So I went and had lunch with Marvin Stamm the next day, and we had lunch, and then we were walking to Mr. Kelly's, and I'm walking with him going, I can't believe this is happening to me. I'm going to sing for Michelle Legrand.
Right.
And, you know, when you're young, you're kind of just all over the place, you know, and you know it's exciting, but you just... you go with it, and you're free. You know, you're a different mindset than you know.
Yeah, you're
later.
Not overanalyzing it. You're just going with it.
No,
you're just doing it.
No, and so so I went there, and he was having the piano tuned, and So I didn't even think, what am I going to sing? I don't remember. I don't remember any of that. So I started to sing, and I sang Bye Bye Blackbird and Scatted. And then I sang, of course, Pieces of Dreams, mm-hmm. which is on RCA Records. Oh, I have the in my bag. Anyway, I recorded that with him live. And so I sang that to him. Can you imagine? I'm singing that song to the man that wrote it, and he's playing it. And he was very happy. Oh, it's wonderful. And then I said, can I sing one more song? And he says, no, you know, this is good. And when I said the song, he said, sure. And I said, You Must Believe in Spring, which only Barbara Streisand and Sarah Vaughan recorded because it's very rangy. Mm-hmm. So he was curious. So I sang that, and I'd say that sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And they were looking for somebody, actually, to replace a singer that was touring with them. And as they say, the rest is history.
You got the gig.
I got the gig.
You didn't
the
even
next,
know you were auditioning for
no,
a gig.
No, I did not even think of that. And the next week, I got his demo of all his songs.
Mm-hmm.
Learned those, and
so that was it. So then he just hired you right then and there, and said,
yeah.
"Well, we're starting
his
next
manager
week.
Got
you're
in touch with me." Yeah, it was really, and I was invited because he was there like 4 or 5 days or 4 days, I don't remember. So I was invited after that to come every night. You know, obviously I didn't have to pay for anything,
right.
And they asked me to come back and, you know, hang, and wanted me to hear him, and it was really incredible.
Yeah,
it was absolutely incredible time of my life.
Yeah. What an experience.
Incredible. Now, still, you know, I'm that way about his music.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, was this like, I mean, you were what, 20 years old or so
yeah,
at this
20.
Point?
Yeah, I was 20.
So, I mean, this was fairly like, it was prime time for him, right?
He was like in his 40s.
Yeah.
And what was amazing is, you know, the concerts we did with 92-piece symphonies and 36-piece orchestras. And, you know, the minute you hear Brian's song, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum,
mm-hmm.
the whole audience would go crazy. Or, ba-ba-da-dum, ba-ba-da-da. You know, you know his music. And then we would, if it was a single bill, just him, there would be two, you know, parts of the show. And the first part, what was ironic, is I would sing Pieces of Dreams with him. He'd start playing. I'm getting like the shakes here. I mean, I am verklempt. He'd start playing, and then I'd sing, and then in the middle, he'd get up, another pianist would take over and bring in the whole orchestra, and it was huge.
Oh, yeah.
And when it was a double bill, I wouldn't, and I would sing some jazz with him. We always did this duet from The Abodes of Cherbourg. It's a jazz opera with Catherine Deneuve, and it is all sung. So the song, I Will Wait for You and Watch What Happens, comes from this jazz opera. And it's very hip. The man was probably in his 20s when he wrote it. He's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would do a 13-minute duet from the movie. And it was very, very passionate. I mean, we looked like we were madly in love. It was acting.
Yeah.
We would touch this, you know, nose to nose practically. And it was incredible, you know, to sing. I'm reliving it as I'm thinking and talking about this, how incredible, you know. You can't know until you're there doing
right.
it and listening to, you know, 90-some-odd musicians playing some of the greatest music I think ever written in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Well, that had to be something because, I mean, you grew up listening to it, and now all of a sudden you're the person.
Plus, I got to work with Ron Carter, Grady Tate, Phil Woods, Randy Brecker, Joe Beck on guitar, all in one. You know, Phil would come tour with us. But, you know, at the St. Regis Hotel, all of those guys, all at once.
Yeah.
So I'm on an album of RCA Records that they recorded the show live. And he put Pieces of Dreams on there. And then they made an album of Michel Legrand, the RCA years. And then they did another one, The Best, and like in 2007. So I'm still on that. And they now took the album of Michel Legrand and Friends last year, 2012, in October, and it's now on CD.
Oh, no
so,
kidding.
I mean, I'm on RCA, folks. RCA.
I wondered why I had to call 6 different people just to try to schedule an interview
that's
with
it,
you.
That's Man. It, darling. You know.
Now, do you have a copy of that here?
You know.
Do you even have a copy
I have
of
a copy
it?
Of the album, yeah. and I... I didn't bring it. I'm on vinyl. I do have it.
Oh, on vinyl.
Yes,
on
vinyl. But you mean the Michel Legrand and Friends? I have something with me.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe we should play the tune since you just talked all about it. Is there a song that you're on that that we could play right
well,
now?
Well, it's Pieces of Dreams with
Pieces
Michelle.
Pieces of Dreams with Michelle. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a listen to that, and then we'll come back with more of Lori Shelley here on
Thank
Chicago
you.
Jazz Revealed.
Thank you.
On WDCB.
Thanks.
We are here on WDCB, 90.9 FM. It's okay to clap. It's okay to talk. I like that. We got cheers and clapping. That's good. And it's only Tuesday. Wait till this crowd gets to Friday.
Wow.
Holy cow. I hope they keep drinking what they're drinking right now. So we're here with Lori Shelley, and we just talked all about how she met Michelle Legrand, went on tour with Michelle Legrand, recorded with Michelle Legrand. We just heard the song Pieces of Dreams from the RCA years, which is a new, I mean, it's they just re-released this, so this is people can find this, right?
This one was in 2007, but the one they re-released was Michelle Legrand and Friends,
which was recorded
live at the St. Regis. I don't have a copy of that.
Okay.
I have a copy of the album, and that was, you know, pretty wonderful to hear that was being put out on, CD.
So you're touring with him and doing everything.
Right.
And then after you left him, things probably just slowed down or whatever for him. So then the band kind of started other things.
I was into doing some of my own things, and it just kind of slowed down a little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were looking for me, I found out. This is a hard one. I didn't know this until I reunited with Michelle, by the way, recently.
Well, you just went up to...
I got in touch with his manager,
Minnesota,
right? A newer manager. Yeah, at 2011, in April, I think it was, at the Dakota Jazz Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we got in touch with his manager, and he's like, "Where have you been?" And I did not know that, you know, because you move. You know, I was staying at my sister's, getting my own place, and
this was before, like, you know, when you guys stopped touring, that you didn't have the cell phones, you didn't have GPS,
nothing.
They couldn't track
nothing
you down.
Nothing at all. And
now you just go on Facebook, and there's, you know, there she is.
Right, that's amazing. And so they were looking for me some years later, and I did not know that. So, I mean, that made me feel good and, you know,
sure.
Not good at the same time.
Right. How long have they been
looking? Right. So, anyway, he was very glad to hear from me. His manager, his earlier manager that I had met, had passed. And I sent him the CD overnight, and he said, you know, Michelle was going to be in New York. I actually wish I had gone there instead of Minneapolis, but I decided to drive there. So they wanted me to sing, and I, you know, met him there after all these years and reunited and sang two of the shows. Well, it was four shows, two a night, and it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else coming up with him? Have you been in touch with him
There was something that his manager was hoping, you know, that would happen, a tour in, actually that October, but it got canceled.
Mm.
And he has a company that books him internationally. I just want to say, though, that when I did perform with him, John Patitucci on bass and Willie Jones III on drums, and they were just magnificent.
And it was just a trio.
It was just a trio.
Yeah.
And it was packed. It's a great club. You know, there's an upper level. The food is great. And it was packed every show.
How old is he now? He's got to be in his
80,
80s, right?
80.
Is
he 80? He's 80.
Wow.
Don't ask me.
Probably tons of energy, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, he's still composing and doing, you know, he's composed for ballet and shows, you know, and he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible.
Well, now you have other stuff happening, though, too. So that you went and did all of that.
Yeah.
And then now you're a very busy person here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we know you have a new CD out.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to what we talked about at the beginning of the interview with you and I playing at the Jazz Fest, and
you've
played some things at the Art Institute and done different things like that. You've also got this performance once a month here at Katerina's, next one being October 4th.
Yes.
Which is two Fridays.
Yeah.
Because this will be on the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm trying to keep track of all these different things. So October 4th, and people can come in. There's no cover charge from 6:30 until 9, and they can hear you here. Now, are you with a piano player?
Yes, I'm with Vijay Telesnayak. Will be playing with me those three dates.
Excellent. So the 4th, the 1st of November, and the 6th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the Unwind After Work Little Friday Jazz Series. How I know you've done a couple of these already. I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of like a cool, laid-back thing.
It's good. Really great. Yeah. You know, what I've been experiencing is that people are really listening a lot. And the other thing is that I'm mixing it up more. You know, mm-hmm. I don't consider myself, although a lot of people do, just a jazz singer.
Well, from your background, obviously you're not.
No,
from what you were telling
us. I consider myself
heavy
a singer.
Metal. Straight heavy metal.
Heavy metal, acid rock and roll, whips, chains, you name it, baby. I consider myself a singer, songwriter, musician.
Okay.
And I really think like a musician first. So anyway, I work with Vijay here on these gigs, and I mm-hmm. love it. It's wonderful to work with
him.
Well,
it's kind of an intimate room, too, here at Katarina. So it's a nice setting. It's a nice scene. And it probably works great with just a vocal and piano.
It does. You know, believe it or not, you know, there's also a later show. So, you know, people will come in and have dinner. And I've been meeting a lot of people, you know, that came in just to hang mm-hmm. or even for the next show and wanted to know when I'd be back. So it's been wonderful, you know. And I think what's been really great is that people are really sitting and listening, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the bar they chat a little bit, but they're really listening. And I'm getting a lot of feedback about my material, that it's not all the norm, you know.
Right.
And that, you know, everything, let's say from Ellington to Billy Joel. And that's who I am, and I love it. I love
it.
Well,
they can hear a wide
up.
Range of all your
yeah.
all your repertoire.
And I make it all work, so it's not, you know, kind of crazy, you know,
sure.
from this to that. You know, so to get to do what you love to do, all the genres is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love
well,
that.
So you've got these three dates. Do you have other things coming up?
Yes, I have the Jazz Showcase.
Oh, the Jazz Showcase.
I'll be there again.
And that's with a full band, I would assume.
Yeah, that one is going to be December 2nd. It's a Monday. It'll mm-hmm. be my seventh time.
Wow.
See, I'm counting.
I guess so.
And the last band that I had, something, I had Jim Galloretto. It was kind of a last-minute decision. I wasn't going to have a horn, and I just decided, you know, I think I need to put a horn on there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to work with him because I've written my own music, which is pop, and he recorded one of my songs called When You're Away From Me, and I was so impressed. So all these years later, right, I got the chance to have him there, and he doesn't just play tenor sax. He plays,
oh, he plays
bass,
everything.
Flute,
yeah.
All the woodwinds. And so the band is myself, Jeremy Kahn on piano, Jim Cox on bass, Bob Rummage on drums, and Jim Galloretto on the woodwinds. And there's something really magical that happened with the combination of all of us. So I decided, you know, Wayne said, please, you know, I want to book another date with you. And so we did. I don't like to overdo it there. It's very special to me. So it gives me some time to think about maybe what I might want to add, which I am starting to get into some more Latin Brazilian music. So it worked. It was so special. So we're going to go back and do it again. And speaking of recording, I'm going to be recording an arrangement that I did on a Michel Legrand tune called The Windmills of Your Mind.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's very, very funky, kind of jazz funky with some Latin in it. And a drummer named Louise Everling has been working with me on kind of what we might want to do with it. Mm-hmm. I've performed it live, but now I'm going to record it, and I want to make it a little more edgier and just take it where it should be. So Vijay and I came up with this arrangement. I started it, and he finessed it. So we're going to be meeting this week to make plans to record that, and I'm going back to record some of my own music and more acoustical, organic, you know, mm-hmm. and it's more pop.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, why don't we, to close out the interview here, why don't we hear one more tune from your release that you have out now.
Okay.
Why don't we hear So Many Stars?
Okay, great.
And this is Lori Shelley. It's called Pieces of Dreams, and we're going to hear So Many Stars. Now, this is something that obviously they can pick up at your gigs.
My gigs are on iTunes.
Or on iTunes.
Amazon.com
or
CD Baby.
And your website is chicagojazz.com.
www.chicagojazz.com/LauryShelley. Oh, that's it.
That's it. Well, there'll also be a link on ChicagoJazz.com's podcast, but they can find everything out.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
This has been great.
Pleasure.
All right, well, let's take a listen to one more tune here from Lori Shelley. So Many Stars here on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com. Support for WDCB and Chicago Jazz Revealed comes from the University of Chicago Presents, announcing its new series, Jazz at the Logan, at the Rava and David Logan Center for the Arts in Hyde Park. The season opens on October 25th with The Bad Plus and continues with Annette Cohen, Dick Hyman, Bill Charlop, and others. Single ticket and subscription information at chicagopresents.u, chicago.edu. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Reveal, live at Katerina's. I'm Mike Jeffers. Katerina's is, oh, thank you. Katerina's is 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago. We record the show every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. And tonight's show has been jam-packed. I'm very excited to have Sam Fazio, vocalist Sam Fazio, Chicago legend, living legend Sam Fazio. No, I'm just... You're going to be a legend. You could be. Everybody's a legend, right?
Yeah, yeah. In my own mind, right?
I'm one in my own mind. Yeah. Trust me. but you've got this new CD out. I wanted to have you on the show because this is Chicago Jazz Revealed, and I think that you're somebody that's performing on a regular basis throughout Chicago. You've done things in New York. You've traveled throughout the country doing things. I don't know how many people actually... know who you are, like in depth who you are. They probably see the name. They've probably heard the recording on WDCB, played on WDCB, and I know they've seen the reviews in Chicago Jazz Magazine. There's my little plug, Sam, you like that. But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about you know, how you got started. Now, you're a singer. Now, would you say you're a singer in the you know, aspect of like the Sinatra style stuff, or is it just the American Songbook, or am I completely off base on everything? Just tell me I'm completely wrong.
No, I think
wrong.
It's probably the American Songbook, but somehow it's sort of evolved into the Sinatra stuff.
Well, because Sinatra probably did all that, right?
Yeah, you know, I never set out to really cover all the Sinatra tunes, but as I started singing, it's sort of the ones that sort of fit naturally and sort of developed them a bit more. But way back when, I sort of started out singing pop, you know, and sort of evolved into this over time.
Okay. So, let's start from the beginning here a little bit. I know that we just had Lori on the show, and she was just started from the beginning. So why don't we do the same thing with you as another vocalist? We'll start from the beginning. I'm always curious to know, you know, how did you decide you wanted to be a vocalist?
Well, I'm not as interesting as Lori, so I never sang with Michelle Legrand, but I do sing one of his songs, I Will Wait for You. So,
well, there you go. There you go.
I, you know, the usual sort of, you know, grammar school, high school type stuff. And then I actually went to music school at DePaul in vocal performance and opera performance. And back then, this was a while ago, they didn't have a vocal jazz program there at the time, and so the only way you could study voice there was an opera performance. But it sort of gave me a solid solid framework for singing that I could apply to whatever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I sort of took pop lessons on the side with a different teacher outside the school.
So did you
system.
Go to school for music?
I did.
For music, okay.
Yeah.
Vocal performance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then after that... I was performing a little bit with this girl I went to school with. We sort of had this little duo act and moved out to Las Vegas for a while.
Oh, well, you moved to Las Vegas? I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah,
now it's getting interesting.
Vegas,
okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it was the late 80s, and we were young, and it was fun, but I was young.
Playing
and
like casinos and stuff?
Yeah, we played ballets. We did openings for, remember that comedy club? What was the name of that comedy club?
The only one I know is like the Laugh Factory or something.
No,
else.
It was sort of in the Hyatts. It was in all the Hyatt hotels. I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me.
Okay.
But we'd open up for some of the comedians there and then played the casino lounges.
Were you doing like pop stuff?
We were doing pop stuff, whatever was on the radio at the time. So.
And was she playing piano?
No, we were both singing. We were a duo group. You might have heard of us, Reservations for Two.
Yes, yes, I knew it. I knew it.
We were a big hit, yeah.
I knew it. So did you have a band behind you or just tracks? Or?
No, we had a band, you know, depending on the gig, yeah.
Right.
So we did that for about a year out there, and then
Reservations
move back
for two.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like so 80s. Kind
yeah,
of, you know,
it was very
like
80s, yeah.
Okay, so then you decided that you got tired of Las Vegas, or you got tired of your partner and said, okay, you know what, I'm going a solo career here.
Yeah, you know, and plus just, you know, we were young and, like I said, you know, away from my family in early age.
Yeah.
It was sort of just a... And Las Vegas was a lot different back then, you know. It wasn't like it was now. So, you know, we lived a few blocks away from the Strip, but there was nothing in between us and the Strip except
right.
desert. And so there wasn't a whole lot to do. It was hard to make friends there. And so it was just a different time. So came back here and sang a little bit around town, but then, you know, needed to sort of figure out how I was going to make a living. And so...
that whole thing,
yeah.
Huh?
So I actually went back to school then and got a master's degree in gerontology and then a PhD in developmental psychology and worked as a psychologist for
wow.
the past... 25 years, and just sort of reignited all this in 2009 when I got back into music again. So
you actually took some time off from music. You went
yeah.
to school. You just said, enough of this.
Yeah, you know, I said, you know, I still did stuff here and there, but I really just, you know, decided to sort of switch careers for a while and sort of went into working with older adults.
Mm-hmm. So you're still doing that?
I'm still doing that. That's what I do in the day. I worked for the National Alzheimer's Association for about
oh,
the past
wow.
20 years. So I've always worked with defining quality care standards for people with the disease. So do that during the day and sing at night. Sometimes it's a little difficult to do both, especially
yeah.
those late night gigs.
Yeah, I can imagine, right? You get home at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
those are tough.
Yeah.
You have to kind of be on top of your game, I would imagine, when
yeah.
you're at work, too.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about this new CD. I Wish You Love. Now, is this your first CD, or do you have another one out before this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I had one out before that called The Songs I Love, Songs We Love.
And, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
And this one...
That was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, it was. It was sort of my first one. It was sort of a collection of a lot of different tunes, some pops, you know, and so... This one, I think I spent a lot more time really thinking through a concept and really mm-hmm. looking at the whole, you know, the whole sort of journey of love, whether it be falling in love or losing love or longing for love, but all sort of all different concepts of love. And then really spent some time, you know, putting some good music behind it. Chris White really did some great arrangements on all these tunes
mm-hmm.
and got some great players on it with some bigger band than it was before.
Right. Well, so... When you got back into music, what sparked you? You're working during the day now. You've got your doctorate. You're set, but you still had that yearning to still be
yeah,
a performer.
Yeah, you know, there's still a big piece that was missing from my life then. So, you know, it was sort of something that I never felt that I completely fulfilled, and so it was just always a piece nagging at me, and I was at sort of a different point where I didn't need to rely on it to make a living and to, you know, survive, but you know, now I could sort of re-explore it, and it's been better than it was before, so
yeah.
It's been a great thing to get back into, and it's really been...
So you've been... I guess my question is, like, I mean, you know, how do you get back into the scene? Because you went to Vegas... And then you came back here, and then you just kind of let everything kind of lie low. I mean, did you start sitting in places? Did you start hanging out? Did you just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to start singing again, and I'm just going to go get some gigs. And
yeah, I said I'm just going to start singing again. I went back to my vocal coach that I used to take lessons from back in the day and sort of started taking lessons again. And I would say after about maybe 6-8 months, then I felt like it was all sort of getting there again. And my voice was different than it was 20 years earlier, so we explored some new things to do and then put together a demo CD and just got it out there and started getting gigs, you know, and building it up, yeah.
It's just that easy. It's just that easy.
No,
man.
It hasn't been that easy, but I mean, you know, just, you know.
That's
what
happened.
One thing led to another.
Right.
Yeah, you just sort of keep, and I'm pretty persistent and sort of just kept bugging people till they hire me, I guess.
Said, all right, fine, yeah. Just come in already, Sam.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, why don't we take a listen to a track off of your latest CD, which is called I Wish You Love, Sam Fazio, and it's on Blue Jazz Records. This first tune we're going to hear is Let There Be Love. And I guess everything kind of works together with the love theme and all that as I'm looking through this. For All We Know, If I Could Write a Book, I Wish You Love, Missing You. So it all kind of like all works together. How did you select some of these tunes?
You know, I guess I like I said, I was looking sort of for different types of love, not all just I love you love songs, but some that didn't turn out that great either.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. I didn't do that one. I would have.
That's the only one that came to my mind.
Mickey
I don't know.
Gilly, yeah.
That'll be the next album.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to this first one here, Let There Be Love. It's on Sam Fazio's new release, I Wish You Love. And it's on Blue Jazz Records here on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. Oh, thank you. There's always that little delay, and then they kick back in. It's all right to talk. It's all right to drink. It's all right to clap. And you can even dance. The dance floor is always open. There's not a lot to dance to when I'm talking, but the dance floor is always open. Anyways, sorry, Sam. I always digress here as it gets
problem.
Later in the evening. So we just heard the tune off of I Wish You Love, off your new album, I Wish You Love, and that was Let There Be Love. Now, you put this out on Blue Jazz Records, and it's been getting national radio play. You've been getting some nice reviews. Tell me a little bit about how it came about. You performed in New York recently.
Oh, yeah. It was a few months ago back. I was able to perform at Feinstein's, Michael Feinstein's Club.
Tough club to get into,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Feinstein's at the Regency. It was really probably one of the highlights of my career here. So it was really a great experience. They now have left the Lowe's and are at the Nico in San Francisco. The club moved.
Okay.
But it was, you know, I wish I was a little bit more present. It was just such a big thing that I just sort of got through it. It was a great show and everything, but I wish I was more in the moment in the show because it was
enjoying it.
Yeah, because it was really something special.
So, well, tell me a little bit. I mean, how did that happen? Did you just contact them?
I just persistently kept
texting Michael Feinstein or something.
Answer me. No. No, I sent my stuff into the club and, several times and just kept following up and, you know, they finally took a listen to it. You know, half the time is that people are just bombarded with so much stuff that it's really just somebody taking a listen and giving you a chance. I mean, it's like that at every club, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, what was the significance of going to New York? Because I know that you're getting it played in all these different cities throughout the country and stuff, but playing in New York and playing at Feinstein's in New York, why was that so different than going somewhere else? I mean, what was the experience like?
Well, I think, you know, Feinstein, I mentioned earlier, you know, some of the Sinatra stuff, but, you know, Feinstein brought a lot of that stuff back, a lot of the American Songbook back in sort of the late 80s into more of, like, the popular arena. And so, you know, I listened to a lot of his stuff, and you know, if I was going to perform somewhere in New York that wasn't, sort of a strict jazz club, that was sort of the place that I wanted to be. And so I set that out as a goal, and, you know, it was great to be playing in a club, somebody that I thought really helped bring back all that music and, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, people like him and Harry Connick Jr. and, you know, even Michael Bublé, you know, people say what you want, but, you know, it's making it all popular again.
I like Michael Bublé. I like all of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I always think about, especially like with something like what you have on this recording, and we're talking about Michael Bublé and Feinstein and those guys, you know, the thing that you're doing and what those guys are doing, they're not saying that they're like bebop jazz artists or something.
Right.
They're actually bringing in the casual music listener into the jazz world. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, hey, could you play Sway? I mean, who comes up and says, hey, could you play Sway until Michael Bublé recorded it? Now, we all know, you know, Dean Martin and everybody else recorded it, but they all want it because they heard Michael Bublé record it. And there's probably a lot of those standards now that you get requests from, like 20 and 30-year-old people, that there's no way you would have ever heard from them before until those guys recorded it, made it more popular, hip, you know, I don't want to say made it hipper, but I mean they got it into that casual music listening audience, which is what everybody should be striving to do, because when they hear this stuff, everybody likes it.
Yeah. Yeah, people will come up and request, hey, can you play that Michael Bublé song? Right. And it'll be something that, you know, isn't one of his songs. Right. But yeah.
Night
like,
and day.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. Can you play that Michael Bublé song, All of Me?
Right.
Yeah.
And you say, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
What a great idea.
See the tip jar? Yeah.
That's right. I only remember half of it because you only put $10 in there. So, but I mean, you know, I remember you just played at the Jazz Fest, the Chicago Jazz Fest in the Jazz Oasis, and I can't tell you how many people I looked out into the crowd, and there was that casual music fan because they love the American Songbook. And I always, you know, it's always funny to me, and maybe you have the same experience too, is that, you know, they'll come up and say, oh, I don't like jazz. I go, oh, okay. You like Frank Sinatra? Oh, yeah. Well, you like Ella Fitzgerald? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am, but you like jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because the American Songbook, I think, crosses over all genres. I mean, is that what you're finding with this kind of music? I mean, you're playing, what do you have? You have Pete Miller's gigs coming up, and, of course, you have a big show coming up at Main Stage. I mean, is that kind of what you're finding with the audiences that are coming out to hear you?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and sometimes I'll try to jazz it up a little bit and try to be a little bit more less Sinatra-ish, and everybody just requests the Sinatra stuff.
Right.
So it's like, why even try, you know? So, yeah, I mean, then people want to hear the stuff that they know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, Pete Miller's, the Drake Hotel on Friday nights.
So now you're there every Friday at the Coke Door?
I'm usually there three out of four Friday nights, yeah.
Is it the Coke Door or the...
It is.
Coke Door,
yeah.
Okay, so you're at the Drake Hotel, the Coke Door, and it's samfaziomusic.com for more information.
Right.
So you're at the Coke Door three out of the four nights a month on Fridays. And the Coke Door, I should tell our listeners, too, the Coke Door is an interesting club for those of you that have never been there or don't know what we're talking about. That's the first club in Chicago they opened up right after Prohibition. It's in the Drake Hotel. And if you go down there, I believe a lot of it looks the same. I mean,
yeah.
Especially in the lobby and stuff, you can really see that 1920s. You know, look of what it looked like right after Prohibition.
Yeah, the Coke Door itself is still, you know, all, you know, red leather booths and dark
right.
walls. And I mean, it's really, really an interesting place. I've been there going on 4 years now. And so it's really been a great experience there for me. And, you know, I like, because it's a, you know, it's in the hotel. There's people come to listen to the music, but there's also new people there because people are staying in the hotel or they hear that there's live music. And so it's always a really interesting crowd.
Yeah.
You know, sort of get the request for Freebird a little later in the night.
Well,
but,
you know. I think Sinatra played Freebird,
yeah.
didn't he?
So. I thought after midnight, the 12-1 crowd, you got to get a little bit more poppy and the weddings get out and so Freebird and, you know, whatever else. Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
You know, typical jazz song.
Sure, of course. Yeah. It's right after Girl from Ipanema. You always play Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
It's a nice tie-in. So then you're doing Pete Miller's, and is that the one in Evanston or Wheeling?
I do Wheeling on Thursdays and Evanston on Sundays.
So you're doing them like every Thursday you're at the Pete Miller's in Wheeling, and then every Sunday you're at the Pete Miller's in Evanston?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've got a lot of places for our audience to come out and hear you.
Yeah.
But you've got the big show coming up at Main Stage, which I love. I love Main Stage. I've recorded there and shot video there, and I've been to a lot of concerts there. The sound system's incredible. It's a large venue, but it's intimate. Large meaning it holds 300 and some odd people, but it's kind of cocktail club seating. So what are you going to be doing at Main Stage?
Yeah, this is on Sunday, December 8th. So it's Sunday evening about 7 o'clock, and I'm going to be there with a trio. So Chris White on piano and Joe Policastro on bass, and then Andy Brown on guitar for a little acoustic set. So I'm going to try something different, a little smaller group. Usually when I'm playing those bigger places, I like to have a bigger band, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit more intimate with that sort of intimate setting within a larger theater there. So,
well, there's no drums.
No drums, sorry.
Wow. I don't know about that.
Yeah, sorry. I decided to leave those out this time.
You're unemploying drummers.
Yeah.
We're all going to pick it out in
front. You know what?
Maybe
I'll get a drum machine.
And I'll get the crowd. We'll be out in front with signs. None of us can walk and chew gum in time, but we'll be out in front with signs, Sam. All right, so that's December 8th, and that's at Main Stage. And
yes.
That's going to be in the evening?
It is 7 p.m.
7 p.m. And it's just your group, or is there going to be
just me? Yeah, the trio, the first set, and then an intermission, and then we'll start out with a little bit of the acoustic stuff. And so
trying
a lot of new things, and should be a good show.
Could this be building into a new release at some point? Some of these tunes?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm sure you're probably swamped just promoting this one.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hear one more tune here from Sam Fazio off of his recording, I Wish You Love. And this last tune we're going to hear is the title track, I Wish You Love. It's on Blue Jazz Records. Now, they can get more information at samfaziomusic.com, and I'm assuming that they can find out where to purchase it.
Yep.
And I'm sure it's up on iTunes and all that other good stuff.
All those places, yeah.
So why don't we take a listen? Thanks for coming in, Sam.
Thanks for having me,
Mike.
It
was great.
Appreciate it.
Always fun seeing you. And, you know, maybe we'll make it out again if you ever hire a drummer.
Maybe I could do like an acoustic set with just a drummer sometime.
See, now we're getting some.
How about that?
Now we're getting some. You
voice
can come back
drums
on the show anytime you want.
Voice and drums, the
Sweet
next show.
Sweet Caroline and Freebird with drums and Sam. That's it. All right, well, before we get that far into it, you and I will discuss the new recording coming up with all the pop tunes, just drums and Sam. But before we get to that, this is going to be I Wish You Love, the title track off of Sam's new recording, I Wish You Love, on Blue Jazz Records, here on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com.
Goodbye, no use meeting with auctions.
Chicago Jazz Revealed, live at Caterina's, is produced by Chicago Jazz Magazine and WDCB. I'm your host, Mike Jeffers. Thanks again to our sponsor, University of Chicago Presents, and of course, Caterina's. Tonight's show, but with extended interviews, is available on podcast at chicagojazz.com. Until then, good night.